The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.
We're joined now by the Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue. Thank you for joining us, Minister. As we heard there from Niall Colbert during the 5 of 5, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar earlier today said that the transmission of COVID-19 in the community has been effectively suppressed. Given that, and given the way many people are now behaving, would it not be in the country's economic interests to speed up the easing of the restrictions, to get the economy going again, to get people back to work, to get businesses moving, and to save the state some of the money it's having to spend on supports?
And he also said earlier on in the day, Matt, that we would like to be in a position to reopen the economy further. We have a plan in place that allows us to do that in a phased way, but we need to have enough evidence of the first phase of the economy reopening to give us confidence regarding what we're going to do with latter phases. It is the case at the moment that the spread of this terrible disease within communities has been effectively suppressed, but across this week and the next 2 weeks, the amount of human and economic activity happening in Ireland again is going to increase again. And we need to see where we are going to be at the end of that period before we make any further decisions.
But what about the economic necessities that I just mentioned about people's jobs, about incomes for business, about the government's own situation? Now that you're admitting that your deficit this year could be as much as 30 billion euro, don't you have to do more things to ensure it doesn't get to that?
Well, I already indicated earlier on in the year that the deficit could go up to 30 billion euro. And while that is a vast amount of money, and it is not an amount of money, we can continue to borrow at the rate we are at the moment. We're doing it to support jobs, and we are doing to support income for people who've lost a job. In answer to your question about the economic trade-offs with the decisions that are there, every moment of my day, I'm now dealing with the consequences of our citizens who've lost a job, who've lost a business, who really worried about their future. Coexisting with that, though, is the need to ensure that if we reopen our economy, we do that with confidence about public health, and we give ourselves the best chance possible of trying to reduce the return of this disease later on in the year. And I believe mitigating and reducing that risk is in our economic interest. And that's why I really believe it's worth sticking with the guidance we have about our public health and reopening our economy phase by phase.
OK, but today now the NTMA, which borrows on our behalf, managed to get 750 million euro at a negative interest rate. And there was a massive demand for the bonds that were been issued by the NTMA. Isn't this a time for the government to fill its boots with cheap money and worry about the consequences of repaying it at some stage way off into the future?
Well, you can never defer and allow others to take responsibility for the consequences of decisions that I make. That would never be an approach that I'll use in any public office I'm privileged to use or to be in. To answer your question, though, about why we're able to borrow at the way we are at the moment, it is because those who are willing to buy debt from Ireland have faith in the ability of our economy to rebuild and have faith in our ability to either pay that money back or to swap it with other debt in the future. And that faith is there because of how we rebuilt our economy in recent years and because about our efforts to try to balance our books and have a surplus in other more recent years. To answer the final bit of your question about math, about so-called filling our boots, we're looking to borrow over 20 billion euro this year. And at the start of this year, we were expecting to have to borrow very little at all. And in the coming years, we will continue to need to borrow a large amount of money, albeit in reduced phases each year, to fund the needs that we have.
Yeah, but the European Commission says you need to be doing more. I'm paraphrasing the report in the Irish Independent today, which says Ireland needs to step up its job and company supports and to push ahead with capital investment plans Otherwise, there's a risk that more firms will fail and that unemployment will rise sharply. So you have the likes of your former Secretary General of the Department of Finance, John Moran, saying that there needs to be about $15 billion spent on business supports. IBEX says you need to be spending an awful lot more than you actually have planned. Publicans, restaurants, everybody is saying it. Why don't you make that investment in saving businesses so that in the longer term you'd have more tax revenues coming in from them and less unemployment supports to pay?
That's exactly what we're doing. We have a wage subsidy scheme in place at the moment that's employing 464,000 people that has got over 50,000 companies on it. In the absence of that wage subsidy scheme, there are companies that would be gone, individual lives that would also face such worry at the moment. So that's in place. It's the reason why.
But it's not enough.
It's the reason why we're still standing over a €9 billion investment plan in our economy for this year. It's the reason why we've waived rates for a three-month period. We've deferred tax liabilities for as long as it takes. It's the reason why we've set aside €2 billion to be in a position to take stakes in Irish companies if we need to at a point in the future. And it's the reason why we're getting a credit guarantee ready of an additional €2 billion of lending to support companies. And yes, of course, I am now surrounded by many different voices who want me to do more, who want me to spend more. But many of them are the same voices that in the run-up to this crisis said that I needed to be ready for a rainy day. At that point, many of them criticised me for not spending enough then. And it's precisely because of the judgment that this government, myself, my party, have applied to our public finances in our past, that we're in a position to borrow these huge amounts of money now to support our economy. Now, as to whether more needs to be done, yes, the truth is, as we work our way through this dreadful crisis, it may well be the case that further interventions need to be made. But as we're having a debate about what more needs to be done, we wouldn't have the level of borrowing that you're correctly quizzing me over if that wasn't driven by interventions of a huge scale already. 464,000 people in our country whose wages are now being paid for by the state in addition to all the other commitments.
But for how much longer?
Because we're able to.
How much longer? That's what people want to know. How much longer are these supports going to be there to keep people in employment? And for those who unfortunately have been let go, how much longer are they going to get their €350 a week?
Yes, well, we'll be making a decision on that matter very soon. We're going to do that for two reasons. The first one is that the current end date of those payments is the middle of June. And the second reason why we'll be making that decision is that we're the first week of reopening our economy. And I would hope within a short time, I'm going to have the first set of data regarding what is happening with people moving off the pandemic unemployment payment and or people moving on to the wage subsidy scheme or potentially exiting both. And we'll make a decision really soon in relation to those payments. A point I acknowledge is as these schemes are currently designed, they're coming to an end in the middle of the reopening plan of our economy. And the reason why that is happening is, of course, we put all those payment plans in place there quite a while ago, whereas the decision to reopen our economy has only happened recently.
Well, does that not then suggest, there. Minister, does that not suggest that you should maintain the €350 pandemic payment and the supports to employers until the middle of August, after which case all of those particular phases will have been gone through?
Matt, that's certainly one of the things that we're going to have to consider, because in that kind of a scenario, we will have an ample amount of an understanding of what is happening within our economy. And as you and I debate these figures, of course, what I'm very much aware of is under each figure, there's a life, there's a family, there's a business that's under huge strain at the moment. You know, many different political parties are calling me to continue these payments up to the end of the year. Beyond that, I've emphasised, and I'd like to do so again, that to pay for all that would require a level of borrowing that I think would create huge other risks for us that would happen soon. So we're looking at all these issues at the moment, and I know and believe that very soon we'll be able to outline a better and clearer plan regarding how we manage those issues.
What do you make of the employers who are claiming that people won't come back to work because they're making more money in the pandemic scheme than they were making in their jobs? Would that not suggest that those jobs have been perhaps underpaying those people and that they should be paying them better?
Well, you'd have to, I think, recognise that some of the jobs that we would be, you would be referring to there, Matt, would be jobs that would have been part-time because the pandemic unemployment payment was a flat rate for everybody, regardless of their work. Somebody might have been on part-time work. They may have been well paid by hour for doing that part-time work, but the value of that part-time work would still be way below the €350, which is the pandemic payment. Of course, I'm aware of an issue, of the issue, where we have a number of citizens who are receiving more income by not working now. And when we're making a decision regarding the future of these payments, this is something that we're going to have to look at and consider. The only thing I would say is we do have some research into this from the ESRI, who are an independent research body into public policy here in Ireland. And they have concluded that there are a number of people who are better off in the way you've described, but the majority of them are only slightly better off. And that is also an ingredient in the decision that we're going to make soon.
Something else you said in the Dáil yesterday, just a couple of things I want to finish up with Minister for Finance Pascal Donoghue. You said the government wouldn't be in the business of keeping unviable firms on life support. But who's going to decide whether a firm is unviable or not? And do you not actually have to, in fact, compensate these businesses that by government action and decree have been closed down through no fault of their own?
Yes, I did say that in the Dáil. What I did, though, when I was making that point, is also outline all of the supports that we have to help companies become viable in the future. Because a viable company now is due to the hard work of those in us and those who've created and led us. And we'll need to help companies become viable and help them come up with new business models. You know, in relation to your point there about compensation, this is a very different economic crisis to where we have been before, Matt, for the reason of it was a public health policy decision that has triggered the decrease in economic activity that you and I are discussing here at the moment. And we've looked to recognise that, therefore, by things like the pandemic unemployment payments, by things like the wage subsidy scheme. In terms of the issue of compensation, no matter how much money we borrow, I'm still never going to have enough money to meet all the needs that are going to be placed on me each day, and that's a consequence of the privilege of the role that I do. But I genuinely believe, surely, that we're better off using the money that we do have in the future to help create new work and help allow companies to adjust so that they're in a position to stand on their own two feet in the future.
Well, one final one. Tom Parlin of the Construction Industry Federation in recent days has suggested that the costs of social distancing and other measures in the construction sector could add as much as 40% to the cost of major infrastructural projects. And people are looking at the National Children's Hospital and wondering if the 1.7 billion cost could have hundreds of millions of euro extra added to it. What are you going to do to make sure that that won't happen?
Well, I'd make the broad point first that the construction sector has been making the case to me and to government for weeks that they're able to reopen safely and they want to get back to work. They're barely back to work and they're raising this issue now regarding costs going up. It is the case that because of the change that is going to be happening in workplaces, there may well be additional costs generated because of that, and I think it's likely that there will. But on the other side of the balance sheet, Matt, a few months ago, we had all kinds of other issues regarding the price of land, other issues regarding not being able to hire and keep workers to go ahead and deliver projects that we all wanted to see happen because there was so much other competing work out there for them to do. That's changed as well. And what we're going to be doing now is if claims or issues do come in like this, we will be interrogating and challenging all of them really, really carefully
I sense a bit of irritation in what you say there. Could you think? Do you think it's a possibility that contractors might see the government as a soft touch in a way that they wouldn't go to an American multinational if they were doing a major job for them and start trying to put up the price by 40% as they might think the state would give in to for a major issue like the National Children's Hospital?
There'll be, Matt, this year alone, we are responsible for spending 9 billion euro of your listeners' money on delivering homes, universities, hospitals, the kind of things we need to have happened. And I've been on your show on many occasions answering questions regarding the use of that money. I know the value of every cent of that money at the moment, as I have in the past, but I really know it now because of the pressure that we're under. And if there are issues that we need to address because of how workplaces are changed, we'll be honest and legitimate about dealing with that. But we will not be entertaining claims that look to drive up costs for the sake of doing it. We're in the middle of an economic crisis here at the moment, and every cent that we have, we need to be spending very carefully.
Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, thank you for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.